Hi, Crime Junkies. I'm your host, Ashley Flowers.
And I'm Britt.
And you guys, this is a kind of surprise mini episode. We threw this together because we just released on our main feed today that Dr. No has been captured. And we don't know a ton of information yet, but I did find out, now that we know this guy's name, that he was actually linked to a murder early on in 1990. It was the murder of his stepdaughter, and they could never convict him. They always suspected him, but I thought it would be great if you guys are interested in this Dr. No case, as we're finding out a little bit more information. I thought you guys might be interested in hearing this story. So buckle up, and I'll tell you a little bit about Dr. No's backstory. Angela Hicks was a small-town cheerleader in Ohio, and on July 21st, 1990, she went missing from her home. Her best friend at the time was immediately concerned. Police said Angela probably just ran away. She had a little bit of a wild side. She would, like, sneak smokes or wine coolers, but her best friend said, no way. Absolutely not. Maybe she'd run away, but I promise you, if she's going to run away, she's going to tell me about it. We were soulmates. I would know. And Angela's mom agreed. Angela's mom begged police to look for her daughter because nothing about her leaving made sense. The only things that were missing was this large army duffel bag that she used to keep her Barbies in, and this one t-shirt and one pair of underwear.
That kind of sounds like sleep clothes, right?
Exactly. That's not what you take to run away. So in my mind, when this girl's gone and she's gone out of, like, while in her pajamas, they should have been looking inside her home. Eventually, Angela's mother and best friend were proven right. Just a few weeks later, her body was found by this old barn, like in this wooded, thistly area, not too far from their local mall. Near her body lay that one t-shirt and one pair of underwear that were missing from her room. The medical examiner ruled that her cause of death was undetermined, but they presumed it was a homicide, and police were on the same page because from the moment they found her, they suspected foul play. The only item of evidence at the scene was this tiny Barbie horse stirrup, and this gave police their first clue as to what could have happened. In her pajamas, Angela was likely killed in her own home. Then the perpetrator probably dumped out all of her Barbies, put her body inside that Barbie duffel bag, and transported her and dumped her in the thicket around that old barn, thrown away like a piece of trash. But if she died in her house, police had to look at who was living there, and they had a prime suspect right away. Angela's 21-year-old stepfather, Samuel Legg, who we now know is Dr. No. Legg was the last person to have been with Angela. He reported that the two were home alone together on the 21st while Angela's mom was working in the nursing home. But Samuel Legg says that Angela left the apartment and just never came back. And when police press him on this, his story starts to fall apart a little. He said that she left in a t-shirt and a pair of black shorts. But those shorts were later found by Angela's mother in her room. Legg becomes a prime suspect with a number of other people, but I think he stood out the most. Police were quoted early on as saying, "Do we think we know who did it? Yeah. Can we prove it? No." And so often, that's what it comes down to. What can you prove in a court of law? And they couldn't prove that Sam Legg had killed her. Angela's mom, Nancy, ended up divorcing Sam Legg, and she said ever since they had gotten married, just 11 months before her murder, Angela and Sam had a bad relationship. Angela would mock his young age. And when he first got married, like, he wasn't even old enough to drink. He was just 20. And Angela used to kind of poke at him and make fun. Like, you're not even old enough to buy beer. You shouldn't be married to my mom. You're not my dad. And Sam would, like, fight back and try to assert his dominance over her, which just made her even more mad at him. She'd yell at him and be like, you're not my dad. And you're not even old enough to be anyone's dad who's my age. Like, they were just 7 years apart. The summer leading up to Angela's murder, tension had been mounting between the two. Angela had named her small dog Sam, and this really got, I know, because she, in like her and her best friend used to be like, Sam, do this, Sam, come here, and they thought it was the funniest thing ever.
I love the level of petty. I love it.
Well, I love the idea, but it goes really dark here really quick.
Oh,
because
I'm sure.
He hated this. It got under his skin, and the dog ended up being killed mysteriously. So there was also an incident where this $500 phone bill comes to the house, and it's all of these charges for a sex line. And Sam tried to blame it on Angela and her friend. And they're like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, we're 14-year-old girls. Why would we call a phone sex line to talk to other women when we're straight? Like, we have boyfriends. We like boys. Like, none of this is adding up. But really, Angela's friend points back to one incident. She said this was the straw that she think broke the camel's back. On June 20th, the day before Angela went missing, Angela, her best friend, and her mother were all out running an errand for Sam. He had, like, just lost his job, and they were returning some tools that he had borrowed from a friend. So they're out. But while they're gone, Angela's best friend's mother calls the house asking where the girls are, and Sam says he doesn't know. He has no idea where they've been. And when Angela comes back, she starts freaking out and is literally, like, in tears because she's so afraid that her friend's going to get in trouble because her friend's mom thinks they're just, like, out running wild, not reporting to anybody. Now, that's the last interaction. They had this big fight. That's the last interaction her friend sees between the two. And then the next day, she goes missing. Now, though police had their main suspect, they were never able to find any evidence linking him to Angela's murder. And the case went cold for many years. And in fact, it's technically still cold to this day. But her best friend, Nicole, has always been sure that she knew who did it. For years, she tracked the movements of Samuel Legg. And she was quoted in the Chronicle as saying, I have papers where I followed him. I've known where he lived. I know businesses he owned. I've looked up police records of where he's been to see if there's any link. There wasn't enough evidence in her case, and they needed something to go further, end quote. And like we talked about in our main little update episode, like, he traveled all over. He lived here in Indiana. We know he lived in Ohio. We know he lived in Arizona. So all that time, Nicole is tracking him, following him, because she is so sure that he was the one who murdered her best friend. Police finally did find Samuel Legg in Arizona and brought him back to Ohio to stand trial for what he's done. And when Samuel Legg was arraigned for the rapes and murder of these women in Ohio, Nicole went to the courtroom that day, and she sat in on the proceedings, even though he wasn't being asked about Angela or held accountable for what he might have done to her. Angela's best friend took comfort in knowing that he is finally where he belongs, however it was that he got there.
I just got legitimate full body chills. I love best friends.
Yeah, so I don't know if there is any physical evidence that they can test against him and actually hold him accountable for what he may have done to Angela. But even if there's not, I like to know that Angela's best friend is finding some comfort in knowing that he is right where he belongs. Crime Junkie is an Audio Chuck production. So what do you think, Chuck? Do you approve?